All right, we are on part four of our series, Shedding Shackles and Breaking Free. Shedding Shackles and Breaking Free, or Running Free is what it is, isn't it? I wrote that down wrong. Ain't that amazing? Anyway, Shedding Shackles and Running Free. So we are excited because the new year always brings new potential to our lives. And I think that all of us would probably agree that we are on the road to recovery, right? How many's on the road to recovery? You know, we're recovering from the things that, you know, have went on in our life that kind of hold us back and have maybe brought some destruction. And when you're on the road to recovery, it's a process, you know, and it takes time. You know, sometimes we get impatient because we're so used to getting instant gratification in so many ways that it's hard to wait on things. But, you know, there needs to be a well-planned and investment also in the fact of our life so that we get the return we want. If we don't invest in things, then we're never going to get anything back. Just like retirement, if you don't put into your IRA when you get old, it's not going to be there, right? And just like in your own life, if you don't invest in yourself in the sense of if you can see that you're not exactly where you want to be yet, but you know you can be there, well, then you got to maybe make some investments in yourself to get there. You know, it's not, the best book's the Bible, right? But how many have bought some other good books that kind of stimulate thought and help us to maybe glean a little bit of deeper understanding on a certain subject or a certain area of life that we want to grow? Because, you know, the future for us as Christians should be walking in freedom. You know, that we're unashamed. You know, we need to willfully choose to choose that path. You know, a lot of times we're lackadaisical and we just think it's going to happen just because we hang out and do the right things, but sometimes it takes a little more than that. See, we will only grow to the extent that we're willing to get involved with God, His church, and His people. That's our ceiling, right? You guys know what a ceiling is, right? Check that out. Right up there, that's a ceiling. We cannot raise above that ceiling, you know? And it's like that in life. We have certain ceilings in our life. You may not see that ceiling, but that ceiling is there. And that ceiling is what stops you from going any farther. And some of those ceilings that we have in life are self-imposed. Sometimes they've been put upon us by other people, by speaking lies to us about our future and what we can become and what God has maybe done for us. So then those ceilings, we got to break through those things. And how we do that is the extent of being willing to participate with God in the way that He has established for us to be able to live and govern our lives. Amen? And this series started, I know some of you have heard this is your fourth time, so please bear with me. But the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he had died. And he had been dead 4 days, remember the story? And Jesus finally showed back up because he's going to work a miracle there. And they said, his sister said, hey, you know, don't open that grave. Because Jesus said, roll the stone away. And the sister said, hey, he stinks. He's been there for 4 days. And that probably was a true statement. Well, Jesus said, roll the stone away, and they did it. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, Lazarus come out, and I can just picture him hopping. Why? Because his legs and hands were still tied. How's he going to get from A to B? You know, he's got to do it some way. So he probably hopped out there, you know, and come out, and he told the people that, go and unwrap him. Well, for crying out loud, he just rose from the dead. Couldn't God have dealt with those cloths? I mean, to me, the raising from the dead was the hard part. You know, maybe I'm too simple. I don't know. But the easy part, the unwrapping, had to be done by other people. And it's like that. When we're born again, we get that new resurrection life inside of us. It's there now. But there's still some things in our life that you and I need to deal with because we have a soul, right? We're a spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, have a soul, we live in a body. And when you're born again, your spirit is brand new, but your soul is what is still dealing with some of the things in our life that maybe need to be dealt with. And so that takes us and God, But also it takes other people as we interact with other people. Iron sharpens iron. And as we get around other people, we start to grow. And see, that's what God has for our life. And that's what this series is about. Our trigger scriptures are Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, and then we'll read it from the Amplified, and then we'll jump right in here. It says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's the Apostle Paul. He's preaching right there, and he's preaching real good. He had come through quite a bit of stuff. Matter of fact, he was a persecutor of the church, tried to destroy the church, putting people in prison, held the coat of the people who were actually stoning Stephen to death. So he had a lot of baggage. You know what I'm saying? We have baggage. I know I had some baggage when I came to Christ. Well, Paul had a very key component here in success. He says he forgets what's behind and presses forward to what lies ahead. See, the problem we have, we don't forget what's back there. And now, I believe it's okay to remember some of that stuff a little bit, so don't do it again. You know what I mean? How many know, when I was a young kid, I licked a metal object out in the cold. You know, I just went through my head. I did that. You know what? I remember that feeling when I had to pull my tongue off that thing. And I learned from that. I remember that. I'm not going back there again, you know. But as far as the old failures of my life, that's not me anymore. You know, the old things I used to do. And then in Amplified, it kind of, like I said, you should look at a scripture if you're kind of meditating on it and trying to get some depth. Kind of check it out from different translations so you get a little different vantage point. It says, "I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward." Straining there is interesting. "To what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring, Lord, right now. We thank you for the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, just to be here today, leading and guiding us. We thank you just to help us to receive your truth and for revelation knowledge to go forth. Bind the devil from trying to steal the word in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been going through different topics on this. As like I said, this is the fourth part of this installment. And we've been looking at a lot of different concepts. And I'm just kind of building on some of these. To me, if you want to shed those shackles and start running free, one thing we need to do is we need to declare our dependence on God. You know, we have to get over that idea that we don't need anybody or need God in our life, but we need him to come in and step in and help us out. So we become dependent on him. See, when we get to the place in life that we know that God is all we have, we'll find out that God is all we really need. And I don't know if you've ever been to that point, but it's worth it to get there. I mean, it's a little painful. It's not the easiest thing to get to, but usually it comes at a time of crisis, a time when things are not going quite the way that we really had it planned out. Has anybody been going through life and all of a sudden you look up and, wow, this ain't going exactly how I had it planned? You know what I mean? That happens sometimes. And so we have to declare that dependence on God and find out that sometimes, you know, God is really all we need. As a matter of fact, not just sometimes, all the time. God is all we really need. Now, the problem is sometimes we look at this sort of thing as weakness. You know, weakness. Because we're saying that we can't handle it. You know, and how many growing up, you hated it when people told you can't handle it. You know, then what do you try to do? Well, you try to prove that you can handle it. Right? But see, that's counterintuitive to what we're trying to looking at here. When it comes to the things of God and what God is trying to do. See, dependence on God is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of wisdom. See, it's not a sign of weakness. You know, factually going out and telling people, yeah, how much you need God in your life. You know, maybe you're sitting here today and or listening to my voice and you're saying, you know, I'm a very important person. You know, you're a VIP. Maybe you got the badge. You know what I'm saying? You know, a very important person. And people look to you for answers. You know, and, you know, if you actually told people or that, you know, you're that you need help from God, I mean, people may look at you as not a very good leader. Maybe you're not the person we thought you were. Because you need help. The only fool that's the only person that says they don't need help is a fool, right? Because we all need help, especially help from God. See, Christianity is not a crutch, but a strong foundation by which we stand. You know, as we, you know, it just amazes me that as I get older in Christ, and I think anybody that's been following Jesus for a little bit, you know, more than a day, probably even more than a week, but a while, you kind of find out as you go through the process, especially the journey, and then that journey, you're starting to grow. And the more you grow, and the more information that you assimilate from the Bible and from God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you just find out that you're more dependent on God now than the day you got saved. I mean, that amazes me. I mean, when I the day I got saved, I knew I needed Jesus. You know, I knew that I had some issues going on. I knew that I was separated from God. And I knew that I needed to fix that. And I needed Jesus a whole bunch. So when I got him, I figured, wow, I have arrived. I have what I need. I'm good now. I'm good to go. You know, when somebody says, how you doing? I'm good. Right? A lot of Christians have to accept Jesus. I'm good. But as you grow and you find out more information just about the depth and the riches of God and his grace and everything that he has come to do and what he has to offer, you just find out that I need him more today than I did back then. I mean, that's a good place to be. I mean, that's a living and loving relationship with the Creator of the heavens and earth. And that's amazing. The amazingness of that, the fact that God wants to be a part of our life. You know, and it's so important that we stress the idea that, you know, to keep this loving relationship vital, we need to have some sort of prayer life. You know, just a little bit of a prayer life. See, sometimes we mess up and we think that when we pray, we're just getting power. But see, prayer is not about getting more power, but about getting more presence. Power comes with presence. I ain't going to lie to you. There's a blessing that when you start walking deeper in your authority with God, that when you walk in the room, the devil gets really nervous. You know what I'm saying? You know, he knows that you can talk to God and God'll answer your prayers when you get to that position. But that just doesn't come, you know, by just casually inquiring from God, but it comes from that dependency and learning to spend time with him and to be able to enhance that relationship, because that's what we need to do, is we need to enhance our relationship. If you want to grow closer to other people, we have to enhance the relationship, right? If you only bump into somebody once every several months, you know what I'm saying? What kind of relationship are you going to have? You know, it's not as good as it could be if you spent, you know, maybe a little bit of time every day. You know, the problem with most marriages, they grow apart. They start doing other things and they stop communicating and things like that. And they're coexisting, but yet they're not really openly dialoguing and talking to each other. So that's why the importance of being able to talk and to be able to spend time, and that helps us in our relationship with God. I mean, it's just so powerful because it's so easy to kind of miss out on some of that because we're going on, it has nothing to do with going to heaven. You know, I mean, if you're born again, I mean, you're going to heaven. But you know, what about the relationship we have now? Then it comes back down also to be able to shed those shackles and start running free is that it's kind of our attitude and our perspective is that don't be a fault finder, be a team builder. Okay. You know, being a fault finder. You know, you guys know what a fault finder is, right? Nobody wants to wear that t-shirt. You know, I'm a fault finder. You know, follow me. No. You know, that person that criticizes everything. You know, it could be sunny out and it's too hot. You know what I mean? There's always something wrong with something. So we need to make sure that we're not a fault finder, because if we start to be a fault finder in life, then, you know, it's going to just come back to us, the law of sowing and reaping. You know, and the fact is, most people usually, I would imagine, are repelled by fault finders. How many would like to be stuck in a room for very long with somebody that's always telling you what you're doing wrong? Don't look at nobody sitting by you right now. That's not what we're doing right now. Talk about this at home. But, you know, we need to be a team builder. We need to make people better. We need to make each other better. When we make other people better, we become better. Just as simple as that. So that means kind of be optimistic. You know, have to be an optimistic person a little bit. When you wake up in the morning, are you looking forward to it? I just can't wait to see what's going to happen today. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I'm optimistic. You know, one way we do that, and this is a very simple thing to do, believe the best and forget the rest. If we do that, just that one simple exercise every day, you're going to be good to go. Believe the best and forget the rest. Try to see the good in the people around you instead of seeing the bad. Amen? Next, we need to be a freedom seeker. You know, Jesus came to set us free, so never let anyone or anything put you back in bondage. That comes by a boundary, right? It's a boundary you set. That you don't let people control you or speak death into your life. It's going to happen. But you just set that boundary there. That you know that you need to be free. And that may become by some choices of the people you hang with. You know what I'm saying? You know, if people are always trying to pull you back into some sort of bondage. I mean, I know when I started to head towards Jesus, you know what I mean? There's a lot of roads out there, and you know, I was on a road kind of in between Jesus and the other thing, and finally I had to lean a little bit over and start heading towards Jesus a little bit better. That meant some of the people I used to go with or run with, they would get me over into bondage again, into those things that would hold me back and pull me down. So I had to maybe veer away from that. And so never let anybody put us in bondage. Another way that we stay out of bondage is very simple, is to live with margin. You know what margin is, right? Margin's that little space. You need space in your life. Meaning you can't leverage 24 hours every day in doing something. You can't take, if you make $1,000 a week, you can't spend $999 every week and expect to keep that up and be successful in life. You live on maybe $600 and save some, right? Right? You know, that's margin. That means you're planning for the future, because, you know, we can't keep the pace up all the time. And really, you know, margin ties back into the idea of Sabbath. Sabbath rest. You know, hypothetically for us, Sabbath would be Sunday, which is today. You know, for the Jewish people, it's Friday night to Saturday night. You know, but we celebrate our Sabbath on Sunday because we celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the dead, amen, which is Sunday. Now, that don't mean you have to, you know, get all religious about it, but, you know, I do believe that maybe your Sundays are busy. I know some people have to work on Sundays. You know, but the idea of being able to schedule in some time to unplug and unwind is a very wise thing in your week and in your day. To set aside that time so you don't get all stressed out And because when we try to do more than we were supposed to, that is when we open the door up for failure in our life. It becomes a problem. And so that'll help us shed some of those shackles in our life. You know, trying to keep up with everybody else. Did you know you don't have to keep up with everybody else? Hope this is liberating for somebody. You just have to keep up with God's plan for your life. Amen? It's just what your race is. Everybody has, our races are very similar, but our races are also different. What you're called to do is different than what I'm called to do. So you can't live my life and you can't run my race and I can't live your life and run your race. You just have to find out what your race is and stay in your lane. Amen? Stay in that lane. And you're going to find victory in that lane. You know, it talks about the idea of having the mind of Christ. I know I'm covering a lot of territory here because I want to close this series out today, so I have quite a bit to cover. But, you know, the idea of the mind of Christ. I mean, maybe we'd like to think like Jesus thinks. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? You walk into a situation, you know, and you wouldn't even have to think about what would Jesus do. You already know. Praise God. Because you have the mind of Christ. Your mind has been illuminated. Your mind has been renewed. And you start to, and you know you have the answers. Well, if we want to have the mind of Christ, we need to attend the school of the Spirit. And that traces back. We've already talked about the Holy Spirit a time or two during this series. But, you know, the idea of getting to know the Holy Spirit and starting to get over into the supernatural ways of God. I mean, supernatural is not a spooky word. I mean, a lot of people think supernatural, ooh, so they go out there. And if it's not wild and crazy, you know, it must not be God. No, that's not the case all the time. You know, supernatural is just not natural. You know, not living after the natural man, but after the spiritual man, the one that's inside of us, and allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life and to be able to lead us and guide us. And then he will teach us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 2, he will teach us these things, what we need to know. He's going to reveal them to us. Trust that. Trust that God wants to reveal things to you. Trust that God wants to speak to you. Trust that God wants to lead you and guide you. Yes, it's totally different from what we've been used to. I know that. I remember that process and getting over to that sort of thinking in my life. Because I was coming from a carnal, worldly, living, thinking life when I came to Christ. So I had a certain way of looking at things. But then, after I received Jesus Christ and became born again, you know, I started to apply myself to the things of God. I started to pay attention, you know what I'm saying? You know what I started to take notes at church. Some of you guys must have awesome memories because you can remember all this. It just amazes me. You never write anything down. Yeah, I'm picking on you a little bit. Because the Holy Spirit may speak to you while I'm preaching, and it's going to go in there. It's going to be a great idea. It didn't come from me. It come from God. But you didn't write it down. Well, then you leave the place and you say, huh, well, what was that God told me again? That's why I have an app. Oh, my phone's over there. I have an app. There's an app for that. You know what I'm saying? When you get an idea, you just type it in there and then you come back and you can find it again. And then, you know what I do? Well, this is going to be breakthrough for some of y'all. I actually open it up and look at it again. And then I start to think about it. What does God mean there? And so then I unplug from the world for a little bit and just kind of, I'm a recliner guy. I like my recliner in my office, and I sit there and I kind of think about it a little bit, start to meditate and ponder it. You know the word ponder? You start to ponder it a little bit. And then before you know, God is going to start maybe revealing some more things about that, things that was just meant for little old me. But if I don't write them down, I have found out, this is what I learned in school. In electrician's class, the first thing the teacher told us, I mean, it was the first class, I still remember him, his name was Bill, old Navy man. He said, one of the most important tools you could have, what is it? And everybody, oh, your electrical, your strippers, your screwdriver. Everybody's having these things, hammer, you know, all these ideas. That'd be before cordless drills, man, I wish we had those back in the day, that'd have saved my shoulder. He said, the most important tool you're going to have is a pencil. because you got to write things down. He said, the shortest pencil's better than the longest memory. And I still remember that. 1978, he told me that. 77. 78, yeah. I still remember sitting in that class over there at Creston, Iowa. They don't have that class no more. But, you know, when you go to a job site, and you have to make a list of what you need, is what he was saying. If you need what materials, I mean, any time I would go out and do an electro job, just for a little job, I may need 50 or 60 pieces. Did you know when you start a job and you don't have one piece, that can stop you from actually completing that task? So that's why you write things down. So I encourage you to write things down as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You can buy a notebook for, I mean, sometimes you get them on sale and get them for a quarter. If you can't afford that, hit me up. I can hook you up. Praise God. I might even find you an ink pen around here somewhere, you know, to help you do this, because my goal is to get you to grow. Amen. The smartest you are, the better off, better Christian you are, more of a blessing to this congregation you're going to be. You might even move you up into management. Amen. Praise God. You know, progress, progress. Also, be careful not to play the comparison game if you want to shed the shackles and run free. You know, don't compare yourself to others, because that'll be tough. See, it's to me, it's okay to look to others for inspiration, but not for validation. We don't get our validation from other people. We get our validation from God. So don't compare. I mean, don't compare that, you know, somebody's doing this better than you and somebody's doing that better than all these different things. Because what happens is when we have a tendency to seek external validation, it can get us off track because we stop being ourselves and we start being what we think others want us to be. You know, if you get to the point in your life where you can't really be who you are called to be and you're trying to be what somebody else thinks you ought to be, you're going to be miserable, right? You're going to be frustrated because it's kind of like wearing clothes that don't fit. How many's been there before? You know what I'm saying? Ooh, this is a little tight. Very seldom is it loose, right? You know, usually it's tight. You know, but, you know, we're trying to get that validation from other people. And, you know, everybody, you know, I ain't going to lie to you. Everybody likes that attaboy every now and then, or attagirl. But, you know, for the most part, don't let that be what makes you your purpose. You know, don't live your life where it mounts how many likes you get on your post. If you don't get at least 20 or 30 likes on your post, oh, man. Oh, I'm such a failure. You know, nobody loves me, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever the case may be. You know, I live like, this probably ain't the right attitude. I probably shouldn't even say this out loud. But I don't care what other people think. I mean, I haven't cared what other people think for a long time. For whatever reason, I don't know why. I mean, granted, I'm not trying to be out there poking the bear all the time and all that. But, you know, if somebody doesn't like the way I serve God and I'm staying in my lane, you know what I mean? I'm not in one ditch or the other. I mean, if I'm in a ditch, yeah, go ahead and correct me. I get that. You know, help me out there. But if I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, I mean, we just ran into a situation dealing with something and we was going to get shot in the foot either way we did it. I mean, there's just things in life that no matter what you do, you're the bad guy. You know, you're the bad guy if you say this, and you're the bad guy if you do that. You know, so we can't really seek that external validation, you know, to make us so that it gives us that kind of success. And it gets us down that road and puts us back into bondage, okay? So we can make the mistake of wanting what other people possess instead of enjoying what we only own. So we get into that, and that's kind of looking at other comparison game. And here's what I found out in life is that if we, and I think I've challenged you to do this before, kind of picture where you're at in life now, where you think you're at anyway, on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, get a number in your head. Don't splutter it out loud now. And look around the room. Go ahead, take a little peek. How many people think there's somebody here that you're better than? Anybody? You could probably pick out a couple. Yeah, I'm a little ahead of them. Yeah. All right. Now, look around and see if there's anybody here that's better than you. Ooh. Hypothetical, what I found in life, if you look around, you're always going to find somebody better and somebody worse. So what's that tell you about looking around? It's non-productive. Non-productive. Non-productive to compare ourselves to others. It's not going to be a very winning situation. And so as we go through all these problems, as these shackles that are on our life and the things that seem to come in and try to drag us down, you know, we need to develop an ability to be able to turn breakdowns into breakthroughs. Because there is going to be days that the wheels are going to come off the cart and that the train may go off the rails. That's just the way it is. Things are just going to happen. So what we do when those things happen, how we turn them around, is very important. So we need to be able to develop an ability to be able to step out of that moment and see the big picture. That's the key right there. Because whenever something bad happens, all you can see is this problem. And if we allow that problem to consume us, then it's going to drag us down into the pit or the valley. But if we just take a moment and step back and try to see the big picture, well, then that's going to change our perspective on everything. Amen? It's going to change how we can see that we can do things. And what I try to do is, I try to remember, is that God did it before and God can do it again. Simple as that. After you've been around a while, you've probably been into a few skirmishes and you've had a few setbacks and maybe you're in that setback again right now. Just remember, God did it before and God can do it again. You're going to get through this. Amen. You're going to make it. You know, stop focusing on the failure and start seeing the success in the thing. And like Paul was doing here, is the idea or the concept of remember the call. Now, granted, he was called to be an apostle. I don't deny that's a pretty strong calling. But the Bible says that we each are called. So God has a call upon each of our lives. Everybody here today, God has a call upon your life to do something. And the call of God into His kingdom and all the privileges and promises that come with that relationship. You know, when you enter into a relationship with God, you're called to be a part of that family and a part of that whole situation. So we just need to remember that call and where we came from. Well, what are some of the privileges? Well, not, what I like is love and acceptance. How many dig love and acceptance? Amen? How many know it feels good to have somebody love you? Right? More than your dog. You know what I'm saying? God bless your dog. That's all good. But I mean, sometimes you need a little more than a dog loving on you, you know? You know, it's so good when we just accept the fact that God loves us just as we are. Now, I know, like I said, He doesn't expect us to stay that way. He loves us out of that. Amen. He loves us out of that old life. Praise God. But God loves us and He accepts us. And this idea of being accepted, that you don't have to perform. You can just be what you are. And the idea of another privilege is that the idea we have easy access to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I know He's invisible. I know it seems like He's far away sometimes, but nevertheless, we have easy access to Him through the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the Bible says, and that's Jesus Christ. So we have easy access to Him that we can go through Jesus. And I try to ingrain this in the kids and drill it into their minds that, you know, the only reason we can go to God the Father is because of God the Son, so we always go through the Son. If we remember that, then everything's going to be good. See, it's acceptance that is founded on a faith-based system instead of a merit-based system. That we're not accepted because of what we do. We're accepted because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Also, that unconditional love brings supernatural security to our life. You know, the idea of what that security is and feeling secure. Okay, there is something that is inside of us that draws us to greatness. Now, granted, sometimes as you go down the journey, as you're down the road a while, Sometimes you may be exhausted. You know, maybe you've been running a while, right? Maybe you've been running a while, and it just feels like you're just putting one foot in front of the other. It doesn't seem like you have any direction. Doesn't seem like things are going the way you want. But we have to remember the idea that deep down inside, we've got to rekindle that fire where we know that God has called us to greatness. He has called us to be a world changer. We can change the world, my friends. We can change this world. And we can see it happen in our lifetime. If we all just yield to the gift that God's put inside of us. You know, never settle for less because God has called us for so much more. Never settle for less. I'm not saying being a complainer, that's not where I'm going with this, but deep down inside, we know that divine destiny has drawn us to more. He's drawn us to that. So to do that, you know, we need to run free. We need to be unshackled. We need to be able to run, really go to the best we can. See, we're not born free. We are born again to be free. That's how that works. We're not born free. We're born again to be free. And when we're born again, we come into that relationship. And then through the process of being able to grow, because that regeneration causes us to be brand new. You're not the improved version of yourself. You're a new version of yourself when you become a Christian. But then it's like I said, it's working on that soul. So, in closing this up, running free doesn't mean that we'll be the fastest, but it means we'll be running unashamed of who we are and what we have in Christ. Running unashamed. You know, I picture sometimes, have you ever seen yourself on video doing some things? You know, maybe dancing? Or I encourage you to try this. You know, makes you maybe not want to do it again sometimes. But we need to be able to get to the attitude, it doesn't matter, I'm unashamed. You know, I picture, now, I don't want to gross anybody out, but I picture, how many's had a little kid, you're one of your kids, when they're real little, they shed their clothes and just start running free. Unashamed, they don't care, ain't got a care in the world. You know, I remember as a little kid, we have a picture, and there's this white bowl, tin metal bowl, and it's that deep, so it's all good. But I'm out in the cow lot, and I'm naked. I was sitting in that tub of water. I don't really know how that happened or what my parents were thinking at that time. Evidently, my mom wasn't around. It was just my dad. And I was out in the cattle lot, and I was just sitting out there in this tub naked. I'd stripped off my diaper and everything, and that was my hot tub, I guess, at the time. I was just unashamed, and I was running free. And see, that's that idea of being unashamed and not worried about what everybody's trying to impose on us and look at us is the way that we run. Now, I don't endorse this now. I mean, I would never do this now. But I mean, that same concept that, you know, we don't care. We're just free. Jesus set me free. I can be everything that God's called me to be. I'm so excited what God has done in my life. I can just run free and just enjoy my relationship with Him. Amen? That's what we want to get to, is that sort of freedom in Christ. And that's what I hope our goal is for this year. Amen? Shedding shackles and running free in 2026. All righty, let's pray.